most righteous, most holy, most compassionate, most loving, most faithful God and Father, we come to Thee. How can it be that we can touch Thee with all of our spiritual unworthiness? Oh, Father, by nature we are such sinners. Oh, Father, we are by nature in such rebellion against Thee. How can it be that Thou wouldst bring that gospel call into the world that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus can be saved? Not one of us deserves this salvation. Oh, Father, we pray that we may begin to understand more and more Thy magnificent love, Thy incomprehensible grace, that Thou would reach down into the misery of our sins in order to be our Savior, that Thou wouldst pollute Thyself with our sins so that it was necessary that Jesus pay for our sins by going to the cross. Oh, Father, we truly glorify Thee. We truly stand open-mouthed in wonder at Thy grace. Bless us now as we continue our study of these beautiful, beautiful illustrations of what salvation is in these miracles in the Gospel of Mark. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've really gotten into the Gospel as we are looking at this woman with the issue of blood, as we find her set forth on the pages of Mark chapter 5. We have found that this dear woman who had this issue of blood for 12 years is a picture of each one of us who are unsaved. We are unholy. We are unclean. We cannot come into the presence of God with our sins. We are altogether outcasts, like a leper, like anyone else who could not come into the temple. This is our condition before we are saved. We also, like her, can go all over the world. We can look after this religion and that religion. We can search out this gospel and that gospel. We can design any kind of a gospel program we can think about, and we can spend our money in any way that we wish, and there is no solution to our terrible spiritual condition. But like this dear woman, when we once learn that we have to entrust our life altogether on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to touch Him, we have to come in contact with Him, then there can be salvation. There can be spiritual cleansing, even as there was physical cleansing for her. And so we read that she touched the border of His garment, as we saw in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, or Luke 8, verse 43. And the border of the garment really emphasized the holiness of God. It called attention to the perfection of God and our imperfection, our total unworthiness. But then we read in verse 29, as we go on in our analysis of the deeper spiritual meaning, the third dimension of truth that we find recorded in this historical parable, that straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, in this particular woman's condition, in her physical condition, she knew that she had a terrible trouble. She was unclean. She also knew that the only hope she had was in the Lord Jesus Christ. She also knew when it happened that finally a cure had arrived. She felt it in her body. She, however, did not know how Christ had done it. She may not have known the precise moment that it had happened, but she knew that something had happened. Now, in a real sense, this is a picture of what our salvation is. When we go to the Lord and begin to beseech Him, "Oh, Father, have mercy on me," when we are touching Him with our prayers, with our cries, "Father, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." The time will come when we will know that something has happened within us. We will know that there is within our hearts a desire to be pleasing to God. We will know that the Bible has become far more interesting and important to us than ever before. We will know that we have trusted in Christ as our Savior. We may not know, and certainly we do not know, how it had happened that we have become a new creature in Christ. Mechanically, physically, we don't know what happened. We can read the Bible and know that we've become a new creature, that we have actually experienced the resurrection, that we have been raised with Christ, that we have been born from above, that we are born again. We can know all these things happen, but we don't know how they happen. We simply know that there has been this change. We feel it in our whole personality. There is a difference. There is a difference. Well, now we read in verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Or as we read in Luke 8, verse 45, "Who touched me?" The word virtue here is a word that ought to be translated power, because it's the Greek word dunamis. The word dunamis means power. Knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Now, of course, in the physical case here, Jesus had the power to heal her of her issue of blood. And because he is God, he knows what's going on in the hearts of all around him, and he knew that someone had been healed. God is knowledgeable of every situation. But when we talk about the spiritual dimension of this particular miracle, as it relates to the gospel, we know that the Lord Jesus, or that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." That's the same word, dunamis. When the Bible speaks about the power of his resurrection, it is the same word. The dynamite, if you will, the word dynamite comes from the word dunamis, the power that enables us to become born again, is not something that comes from us. It comes from God altogether. This woman with the issue of blood did not have certain antibodies, other characteristics in her body so that it was able to instantaneously fight off the disease of the hemorrhaging, the issue of blood, and now these were brought to bear so that the issue of blood was healed up. This is frequently, of course, the way we are healed of diseases. Our blood contains certain corpuscles that are used to fight off disease, and there are certain other antibodies and so on within our being that are brought to bear against the threat of disease, of infection within our body, and so healing occurs. Well, that is not a picture of what we have of salvation. In salvation, the power came entirely from God himself, in this case from the Lord Jesus. When we talk about the power of the gospel, the power of the resurrection, the power of salvation, it all comes from God. When we go forth doing the power of God, bringing the power of God to bear on those who are unsaved, it is the power of God altogether. Those who are unsaved are not saved because of some residual goodness within them, some contribution that they make to salvation. The power comes altogether from God. Even we who bring the gospel have no power in ourselves. We are the vehicle, we are the means by which the power of God flows through as the gospel is presented to the unsaved, and so they do become saved. And so in this verse 30, Christ is emphasizing that our salvation is altogether the work of God. It is not our work. Now, the other interesting thing we find in verse 30 as we analyze this more deeply, here is a whole multitude of people pressing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word press here is really a word for multitude. Again and again, the Greek word that is translated press here is the same word that is translated multitude. And they were all around him. Fact is, the disciples said to him, in one of the other passages, I think they did, in verse 31, actually, his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And yet out of that whole multitude, there is one woman that receives power from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think in this language, God is teaching us the selective nature of the gospel. The selective nature of the gospel. There are all kinds of people who throng about the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. That is, they want to identify with him. Any gospel that is not the true gospel and yet uses the Bible in some degree, greater or lesser, as a greater or lesser part of that gospel, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they throng in that sense. They press against the Lord Jesus Christ. But any gospel that is not the true gospel will not bring salvation. In our own land, we call ourselves a Christian nation. The word Christian means of the family of Christ. So in a real sense, everyone in our nation wants to identify with Christ. We press against Christ, thinking that there is something there for me. We're just like this multitude that thronged against the Lord Jesus Christ, that pressed against the Lord Jesus Christ. But nothing particularly happened to the rest of the multitude. But amidst this whole throng, here is this little widow, or this little woman rather, with this dreadful issue of blood, and she extends her hand and reaches out and touches the Lord Jesus. And power flows from the Lord Jesus so that she is healed of the issue of blood. And so it is amongst all the multitudes that want somehow to identify with the Lord Jesus, either very superficially, very casually, or even in a very detailed way if they happen to have a wrong gospel featuring the Lord Jesus Christ to a very high place. They are not affected by that gospel at all. They remain in their spiritual unbelief. But lo and behold, amongst all those who become close to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a remnant chosen by grace, just a trickle of believers, typified by this woman with the issue of blood, who are drawn to him somehow, who realize somehow, if I can only touch the Lord Jesus, if I can only place my confidence in him, oh, I don't have to have a dynamic faith of Daniel or Samuel or of the heroes of old. If I can only just cast my cares on him, oh God, have mercy on me, then perhaps God's blessing will flow to me. And so they reach out and touch him. That is, they abandon themselves to the Lord Jesus as best they can. Oh God, have mercy on me. And that is the picture of the woman with the issue of blood. There is that remnant chosen by grace. Now this tells us, of course, that consensus isn't the way to go. Just because a lot of people have a particular gospel that seems to encourage them and they really are identifying with the Lord Jesus in some fashion, that in itself is not proof that it is true saving faith. This woman was unknown to the press of the people. They had no idea what was going on. Jesus actually exposed her to the multitude, but except for that exposing of her, they would never have known that she had been healed of the issue of blood. It was a very, in the midst of this multitude, her healing was a very private matter between her and the Lord. And so you may sit in the great congregation and you may see all of these people with their bright and shiny faces, and you may think they all have a proper relationship with God. Well, whether they do or not is beside the question. When you sit there and you know that you are still a cursed person, you are still in your sins, you know that your sins have not yet been forgiven, you know that you are still heading for hell. Forget about all the multitudes in your congregation and in all of the other congregations who seem to have a right relationship with God. Whether they do or not is not your problem. Forget about the holiness of the elders and the deacons or the pastor or whatever. That is, again, their business, not yours. All you know is that you have to come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you, in your own way, in your the privacy of your own room, in wherever it may be, or in the great congregation, wherever it is, the cry can go up to God from your heart, "Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, I don't want to sin anymore." That's the woman with the issue of the blood, of blood. God hears us. No matter how lonely we may think we are, no matter how cursed, how low we think we are. Again and again I talk with people who have committed grievous sins, and they wonder, can it be that God can forgive me? Well, you see, we all stand before God as sinners, and there's no one that is too great a sinner. Christ came for sinners. Here's this multitude of people. All of them look well. None of them, of the others, insofar as we know, had an issue of blood. All of them were certainly ceremonially clean. And here is this woman with her issue of blood. She's a spiritual outcast. She can't come into the temple. Every time she touches someone, they become unclean. She is the last one who could come to the Lord Jesus. But she is the one who received power from the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the one who received the healing. She is the one who got the attention of the Lord and received the commendation from Him, "Go in peace." Oh, the marvelous, marvelous grace of God. Don't ever despair, no matter how low you feel you have sunk. You might be the worst kind of a prostitute, drug user. You may have committed murder. You may have lived in fornication and committed incest 100 times. You may have done every sin in the book so that you feel you're as unclean as anyone could be unclean. Can God, Christ save you? Did Christ heal the woman with the issue of blood? And the answer is yes. Yes, indeed He did. And so He can save you too. It means that you reach out to touch Him. It means that you begin to recognize yourself as the sinner that you are, and you cry out to God for mercy, and God will give you the faith so that you will reach out to touch Him. Now, she touched Him. She didn't run up to Him and throw her arms around Him. It isn't as if we suddenly have to come into the most intimate knowledge of Christ so that we know all about Him. It doesn't mean that we have to have an intimate knowledge of every aspect of salvation before we can be saved. She just touched Him. We, regardless of what we know about salvation, regardless of what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of how close our contact with the church has been, we too can be saved. It all depends upon the motivation of our heart. If God has broken us so that we realize there is no hope anywhere in the world except in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are on the threshold of salvation. She had spent all that she had, and in her bankruptcy, there was nothing more Now she came to Jesus, and so it is. When we are spiritually bankrupt, when we're ready to acknowledge there is no other way, Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, then there is going to be redemption for us. Well, you see, whenever Christ saves us, He knows whom He saves. He is absolutely aware of that sinner's prayer. He's absolutely aware of the turmoil in our heart as we begin to cry out to Him that we might begin to believe on Him, that we might begin to repent of our sins. The woman thought that she could do this without His knowledge, but Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And no matter how many people were clamoring after Him, no matter how many people were pressing Him, Christ knew that she had touched Him. And no matter how many people are praising God or who are identifying with Christ or who are already saved or who are claiming to be saved or whatever, when we come to terms with the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ knows about us. Christ is never too busy to save us. Oh, what a marvelous salvation. He is never too busy. He is always there, no matter how many others are pressing against God. And so He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. When we cast our lot with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because He is casting His lot with us. Now we read in verse 33, "The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth." You see, when we are saved, it is the moment of truth. It is the moment when we come to God and we confess our sins. We read in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, "She told Him why she touched Him and how she was healed." In other words, she confessed her sin. She confessed the fact that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was unclean, and she had dared to touch the Lord Jesus Christ, who was holy, making Him also unclean. And because she had touched Him, she had become healed of her uncleanness, of her issue of blood. When Christ saves us, it is the time when we begin to confess, when we begin to repent of our sins, we turn away from our sins, we acknowledge that we are sinners, we hold nothing back. We are ready to face the awful truth about ourselves, that there is nothing good within us. We're miserable, rotten sinners. Oh my, there are so many people, you know, that are saved, that hear about the way of salvation, and yet they can't bring themselves to admit that they're dirty, rotten sinners. They really want to cling tenaciously to the idea, "After all, I'm a pretty good person. After all, I'm not quite as bad as that harlot that's in the red light district selling her wares. I'm not as bad as those who are taking drugs. I'm really a moral, upright citizen. Oh yes, I know I ought to have Jesus somehow. I certainly want to be identified with Him, but I'm not really that bad." Well, if we're not ready to acknowledge the truth about ourselves, we're not going to be saved. We're not showing that God has done a work of grace within our hearts. Because you see, on God's yardstick of goodness, the very best of us stand right at the bottom as compared with the holiness of God. The Bible says in the Epistle of James that if we have broken even this one of the laws, the smallest point of the commandments, we stand guilty of all. And so salvation is the moment of truth, and it is the truth that sets us free. We have become identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, as she admits this to Jesus, that she touched Him, this focuses on the fact that the Lord Jesus had become unclean in order that she might become clean. And what a marvelous spiritual truth this is. All of our sins were heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He became sin for us, so that He became before God guilty with our sins, and He had to endure hell for our sins. Oh, what a salvation God has provided for us. Well, in our next study, we're going to look at verse 34 and see the kind words that Jesus speaks to this dear woman, and see how that relates to us as we are saved from our sins. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.